this morning, Job chapter 33. And we'll continue on the series we started on Wednesday night on is it a phase, a phrase, or a praise? And I begin to run reference on this on the Bible. There's 19 times in the Bible the word "I have sinned" is mentioned, 19 times in the Bible. And majority of those times it's not meant. It was just either a phase somebody was going through or a phrase they learned to say, but it was never to the praise of His mercy and guidance and mercy and comfort that He can bring. And we preached Wednesday night on the fact that there were two in the Bible, both Pharaoh and Simeon used it as a phase in their life. Pharaoh, the hail fell, things got hot. He said, "I have sinned." As soon as the hail quit falling, went back living like he was, just phase. And then, of course, the locusts come to town, and he lost his crop. People start losing their crop. And they'll cry, "Oh, I've sinned." And then all of a sudden, the crop comes back, and they forget about what they've said. And then old Simeon cursed somebody who'd come out on top. And as soon as he was cursing, it was fine. But when they come out on top, "Oh, I've sinned. I've done something wrong to you. I shouldn't have done that." And he shouldn't have done it to start off with. Amen. And it wasn't long before he went in that even Solomon had to end up taking his life. Because David told him, he said, "I pledged on this day I wouldn't kill him. But I'm telling you, Solomon, you better keep an eye on this fellow. He's a problem." And 3 years' time, he went back and did exactly what he said he'd do. And there's some people, listen, it's all those people that go through a phase, it's always about time. If you give them enough time, they'll go off in that direction, go off and do what they should not do. Amen. If you have your Bibles, keep it open there with them in Job chapter number 33. Let's all stand, and I'll let you sit down quickly here. I won't hold you long. But you will look it with me in verse number 27. Job 33, verse number 27 says this. "He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profiteth me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light." Now, we say that it says we will confess our sins. He's faithful, just, and forgives our sins and cleanses from all unrighteousness. I believe that. No question whatsoever. I believe that. But it's not just something you say. It's got to be from the heart. The Bible says in here, if you read it, verse 3, he says, "I have sinned and perverted that which is right, and it profited me not." I did that which was wrong. I profited, I perverted, I turned away, I mixed up, I made it go the wrong way. That was right, and it had no profit in it whatsoever. And if we get in our heart that and realize that's what sin is, that sin is a perversion and sin that has no profit, then we call out to God, and God hears that prayer, and God forgives us our sins. Amen. When we have perverted God's will and it has no profit in it. But just to blurt out some words, that's not confession. And a lot of people have used it like that. Just used, "Oh, I've learned," this word I'm preaching on, they've learned a phrase. There's a lot of people who just learned a phrase, but it's not real in their life. I'll show you. The first one has to do, we preached on Wednesday night, we preached on those when, you know, things have changed or they've had a little bit different in the conditions have changed. And so they'll say, "I have sinned," until the condition changes back, and then they keep on doing. I want to preach today on when they're caught. And the phrase is used when people are caught in sin. Let me show you what I mean by that this morning. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Dear Father, thank you for all things you've given us this day, and I thank you for your gracious kindness on our lives. Lord, I pray you'd hide us behind the cross. You know the weakness of your vessel this morning. You know what I'm not able to do, but I do know what you're able to do. That is everything. And Lord, I pray that you strengthen our thoughts, our minds, our lips, and our words today, that they might be fitly spoken and go out to where you send it. Help those that are sick, bring them back quickly. Help those that are sin sick, Lord, also that they be brought to the house of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And be seated. Amen. Pray for our vacation Bible school. It's this coming, this coming Saturday. We're looking forward to that. Amen. Looking forward to Vacation Bible School. Hope we have a great one this year. I think we are. Amen. If you look at your Bible, I want to turn to several. I'm going to be honest with you today. This one has abundant example of those that used that phrase, "I have sinned." I mean, the Bible is just packed full. You could go on with a lot of examples, but I'm going to use ones that actually use that phrase specifically. If you will, look with me in Numbers chapter number 22. In Numbers chapter number 22, if you'll turn there with me. And you'll find out that we run across a man by the name of Balaam. Numbers chapter number 22. Balaam had a presence with God, a confidence with God enough where he would speak to God. A lot of them, people don't see him as that. But God would speak to Balaam and Balaam would speak to God. And the Bible says that there came a time when Balak, who was wicked, Balak heard about how Israel had crossed and how they were coming across the land. And boy, he didn't want to have that. I mean, they weren't going to have it in his land. And he didn't want to be defeated. So he runs down to him, a holy man, if you will, and by the name of Balaam. And he wants Balaam to put a curse on the children of Israel. And of course, we know that's not going to go well at all, is it? And so look at it with me in Numbers chapter 22, verse 11. The Bible says, "Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covered the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Preadventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." And so he asked him that, and Balaam prays that unto God. And the Bible says, "And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." For that's a great statement. For they are blessed. Amen. God said, you can't curse them because they're blessed people. Amen. They're not curseable. Amen. And boy, it's good to be not curseable. Aren't you glad? Listen, if you're saved, you're not curseable. Amen. And so he said, they're blessed. And you don't know anything about them, Balaam. Balaam didn't know who they were. Balak definitely didn't know who they were. And Balaam didn't know who they were. And he was praying to God. He said, they've come to me and they want me to go out and curse them. And God said, you're not going to curse them and you're not going to go with them. And so, because you don't know who these people are, they're blessed people. Now look at verse number 20 of this verse. Of this chapter. Of course, he tells that to Balak. Balak doesn't like that. And so he comes back and offers him, already offered him an offering, going to give him something. Now he really is going to give him anything he wants. Look at verse number 20. The Bible says, "And God came to Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but yet the word which I shall send thee, thou shalt do." The Bible says in verse 21, "And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the prince of Moab." Look at verse 22. "And God's anger was kindled because he went." Now, why was God angry? See, all y'all looking up at the same time. Wait a minute. But didn't God tell him to go? No, he said, "If they call you, you go with them." See, Balaam was caught up in what they were going to give him. So he got up in the morning and he makes everything ready and he gets the ass all saddled up. And he gets so anxious, he just go ahead and jumps on it and starts going back with them. But God was very specific in what he said. He said, "If they call thee, you go with them." Now, what did God know? God knew he wasn't going to get a chance to call him. He was trying Balaam's heart out. And so God didn't let him. And so we have, knowing that he have an unknown, I had no knowledge, but he had an unheard call. They didn't call him to go do that. He just saddled up and took it. I think a lot of people in the ministry uncalled. Amen. God never had a call in their life. They decided that was what I want to do and there's some money in this thing and I'm going to go off to Bible college. I'm going to go to seminary and I'm going to learn some things and I'm going to get me a degree and I'm going to get me a big church somewhere and I'm going to sit there and I'm going to be a preacher. And you can say that, but if you want to, but I'm going to tell you this, if you don't have God's call in your life, he's not got his approval, listen, you might be walking into the anger of God. And so that's what he did. And God was angry. The Bible says in verse 20, "And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him." And so he carries somebody along because he didn't hear. It was an unheard call. Now look at verse number 23. "And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went in the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her in the way." Now, he was unmerciful. There was an unknown, there was an unheard, and he was unmerciful. In fact, he beats that donkey, that little ass, he beats it three different times. He beats it one time for going in the field. He beats it one time for crushing its foot. He beats it one time for falling down on its knees. And there's a great message in that, and I ain't going to preach that this morning. But I'm telling you, there's a great message on why you'll take a beating in this world. I'll give it to you quickly. You'll get it for going out witnessing. You'll get it for praying. And you'll get it for falling on your knees under the burden of other people's life. And you'll get a whooping for that, Brother Freddie. Now, you'll get some whoopings in life over that. That's a free one. That won't cost you a thing. Now, here, look at this. Look at this. He is unmerciful in the way he acted. Now, look at verse number 34. I realize we're not covering all this scripture this morning. Just for the sake of time. Look at verse 34. Well, all of a sudden, he's sitting there beating on that, hauling the ass there. And then he says, I wish I had a sword. I'd take your life. That's what he's going to do. I wish I had a sword. But he didn't have a sword. And the Bible says, then God opened the eyes of Balaam. And the Bible says in verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel, Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. Now you notice what he says? He says, I have sinned. But the only reason he said that at that point is that he seen an angel getting ready to take his life. And then he says, oh, I have sinned. The problem with Balaam is, he had sinned that morning when he got up. He had sinned that morning to get up. It wasn't his act of his heart that was making him say, it was the act of his horror when he realized he'd got caught and got ready to take his life. And he says, oh, I have sinned. And he said, no, you're going with him, but you're going to say what I said. And of course, the great story is he goes up there and he says, I want you to curse him. He said, all right, I'll curse him. Make all these sacrifices. He gets that ready to pray the prayer of cursing. When he does, he blesses Israel. Amen. God sure turned that message around that morning, didn't he? Amen. So Balaam is caught in his preferences. I tell you right now, people get caught up in their preferences. They decide, I prefer to be here. I prefer to be with that crowd. I prefer to have that money. I prefer to have that job. I prefer to have that whatever it is. And because his preferences, he did what he wanted to do. He got caught in it. And then when he gets caught, he says, I have sinned. But it's not from the heart. Number two today. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Joshua. Are y'all with me this morning? Because this goes somewhere. Look at Joshua. In the book of Joshua, chapter number 7, We have, of course, the story of Achan. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 7, verse 1, it says, but the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Now notice, his sin infected the camp. Do not tell me it does not matter what you do. When you sin and you bring it in the church, you bring a judgment on the church. The church can't get loose because you're living in sin. Oh, it don't matter what I do. Yes, it does matter on you. You bring judgment upon the church where it can't get loose like it ought to be. It does matter. That's just my little sin. There ain't no such thing as little sin. There ain't no such thing as pet sin. I want to say, let me wrap this all up real good this morning. If your little sin was all the sin there was, let's just say there was no other sin. Okay? If your little sin is all the sin there was, it would still be enough sin to condemn us all to hell. Because sin is sin in God's eyes. It is disobedience. It is perversion to what that is right. Amen? And so our little sin, no matter what our little sin is still sin. And it's still judgment, still brings judgment in God's eyes. Would you agree? And so we can't say my little pet sin don't matter. It does matter. And so God said, listen, it infected the camp. And look at verse number 4. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. Now they'd been winning the battle, but now they go up before Ai, and they fight that little town of Ai. They didn't even send all the people. They said, man, we got this. But this sin infected the conquest. They were conquering and now they're not conquering no more. Why? There's sin in the camp. It infected the conquest. Look at verse number 7. And Joshua said, alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us in the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwell on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? And there it infects the confidence of the leader. Now the leader's saying, well, why are we losing the battle? I thought we was lined up right. We got the right book. We got the right cause. We got the right strength. We got the right Savior, and now the church is dead as corn shucks, and we're losing the battle. And the leader begins to lose confidence. Why? Sin in the camp has infected the confidence, because now it's infected the conquest, because it's infected the camp. Now, number four, notice this. Look at verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel has sinned, they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the cursed thing, and have also stolen, disassembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. That word dissemble means they lied. They've took it, they've stolen it, they've hid it, and they lied about it. By the way, if you're hiding sin, you're lying about it. Isn't that, you know what hiding is? Isn't hiding lying? If you put it away when somebody else is around, listen, if it's all right, do it right, do it all the time. Amen. I'll tell you, this crowd gets real holy around one preacher and real wicked around another preacher. It's just because you think you can get away with one preacher, but you get around another preacher, you put it away and hide it. You know why you do that? Because you know it's wrong. You know it's wrong. Amen. I've seen have revival, and people get so spiritual during revival times because we've got a guest preacher in town. All of a sudden, man, you think they floated in on a cloud last week. And you say, man, where were they the week before? And the week before that, and the week before that, and the week before that. You know what they're doing? They think they can hide it. They think they can do it in front of their pastor and hide it from the guest preacher. Say amen right there. Somebody with me today?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. And I ain't the only preacher knowing that either. I guarantee I called Brother Wharton this morning and said, you ever seen that before? Oh, yeah, preacher. Amen. You say, preacher, what's happening? Is they are, listen, they have infected the communion. I never noticed this before. Look at verse 10. It just stood out like I never saw this before. I just taught in a Sunday school lesson this morning that there's five positions to pray in. Do you know that? And one of the positions to fall is to fall upon your face before the Lord. It means to be just, I mean, laid out on the floor before God. I've prayed in that position. Man, it's when you are brokenhearted to the point where nothing else will do but lay before God and say, oh God, we need your help. We need to pray like that today. You hear what I'm saying? Notice what it said in verse 10. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get thee up. You know what God is telling him? He's telling, you have, listen, this sin has infected my communion with you. I don't want you even praying to me, Joshua. Get thee up. That's pretty strong, Brother Ty. When God tells you quit praying, it's not a good day. Get thee up. That's strong, isn't it? And so it infected, this sin has infected the communion of Joshua with God. Notice verse number 19. God explains to him what's happened. He explains to him how he needs to deal with it. And Joshua begins to go down through and deal with each one of those sins. Go through the families one at a time, one at a time. It's not this tribe. It's not this family. It's not this. And he has to go through all those people, and all those people have to go through all those lines in order that the lot finally fall on Achan. Look at verse number 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. He says, listen, they've took Israel. They've took a tribe. They took all the families in the tribe. All the heads of the family within the tribe, within the families. And they finally come down, and there's Achan. I'm just going to use this morning. You're aching this morning. We've took out all those millions of people. And everybody's clear except Achan. And even then, Joshua has to say, give glory to God. Tell God, show everybody God knows what he's doing. And he has to tell Achan to confess it. It's bad when God picks you out and the preacher says, please give God glory at least. That's serious. Would you agree? That's serious. Is that not arrogant? And finally, we get verse 20. And the Bible says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned. That just don't seem proper, does it? Does that seem to meet the magnitude of what you've done? Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. I ain't no better, ain't no worse than anybody else. Indeed, I have sinned against the God of Israel, and I've done thus and thus. Does that seem like that comes from the heart? Or does that just seem like somebody's got caught with a prize in their hand? And since everybody's been picked out, God says they're all not the ones, I'm the one. That confession will not cut it with God. How do I know that? If we'll confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Was Achan forgiven or was Achan stoned? Achan was stoned. Why? It did not come from the heart. Number three. Got your Bible? Look at 1 Samuel. I told you there's example after example. 1 Samuel chapter 15. This is an important matter this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 15. Look at it with me. Verse number 9. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 9. But Saul and all the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused they destroyed utterly. They allowed sin to stay in the camp. Why did they do that? God told them to destroy Agag and everything that pertaineth to him. Not only did they not destroy Agag, they took the best and well, I don't like that one. I'll kill that one. Amen. I'll kill that one and that one and that one. I don't like it. But the ones I like, I'm going to keep them for myself. They allowed it. In verse number 13, there's a man of God comes to town by the name of Samuel. And he says, and Samuel said to Saul, came to Saul and said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleeding of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now you're telling me you did it. But the man of God shows up and he says, wait a minute, you're telling me it's right, but I'm telling you, I hear sheep and I hear oxen. And how's that possible? But I did everything. Well, some didn't get done. Number three, look at verse 17. And Samuel said, he goes through and all the people did this and they took of it. And he's the leader, he's the king, he's anointed, he's supposed to lead. Well, preacher, we've been to church Sunday night. We'd have been to church Wednesday night. We'd have been to church Sunday night, Sunday morning. But the children didn't want to come. I'm going to tell you right now, God's not going to call the children up. You know who God's going to make a phone call to? He's going to make a phone call to Dad. Why? Because he's put him in authority. Old King Saul said, oh, they wanted to keep him, and they did this, and they did it. God didn't care what they did. He anointed him king, and he was responsible. So something happens about this. Look at it with me. Are you there? Look at it with me in verse 17. And Samuel said, when thou was little in thine own sight, when you was a nobody in your own sight, and wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? I'm going to read a little more. Look at verse 15. Look at verse number 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be what? Consumed. That means gone. Look at verse number 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord. And he said, now listen, God sent you on a journey to do something, and you did not do it. He said, when you were little in your eyes, God chose you. But now that you've been anointed, you've gotten arrogant to think, well, you can go and do what you want to. And that's a mistake. Hey, do you remember when you just got saved and it was just good to be at church? No, I'm not talking about be something at church. I'm talking about be at church. Just the fact that the doors were open was a good day. The doors are open tonight. I didn't think Sunday night was ever going to come after Sunday morning. Does anybody remember that? You know why you felt that way? Because you was nobody when you got in. And God made you somebody going somewhere. And just the fact that the doors were open was a blessing to be at the house of God. Would you agree? It was just a blessing to be at the house of God. It didn't matter what they sung tonight. It was just a blessing to be there. It didn't matter who all was there or wasn't there. You was going to miss them, but you're just glad you was there. It didn't matter if the air conditioning was on or not. It didn't matter. You got to go to church tonight. I tell you what's happened. We've outgrown our smallness. We've forgotten where we come from. And we began to believe that we could do our own thing. That's what happened to Saul. Saul just kind of did his own thing. Y'all still with me? Verse 22. Samuel said, "Hath the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams." Look at verse 23. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." He said, God lumps it together. You know, we won't have categories of sin. Categories of sin. My sin's not bad as this sin. God says, it's together. It's sin. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That's pretty strong there. You say, I don't like that. That don't bother me. God said, rebellion as a sin of witchcraft. I'll tell you one thing. It don't matter what I do. It's okay. No, it ain't. God says it's as witchcraft. And if we think, if there's no difference, let's just bring a big covenant here with us. We have a bunch of covenant, and we can have Sunday morning church, and right after we can have the witches meet, and we can all worship the devil. Because it don't matter. Does it matter? Is there a difference? That's right. We view it as a different thing, right? God says, if you rebel against what he's told us to do, it is as witchcraft. It's just as rebellious. Man, that's convicting right now. You say, oh, preacher, you're talking about, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be honest with this message this morning. I'm telling you right now, we're going to face an almighty God one day that we've forgotten who he is. We must line up with him. We must do what thus saith the Lord. He is still Lord, you know. It's not up for vote. He's Lord. Y'all still with me? So it cost him something in accordance with what he did. And then it says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 24, "Finally, and Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." I have sinned. But is it honest confession? No, it's not honest confession. I'll prove it to you. Look on with me. Verse 25, "Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel." Verse 27, "And as Samuel turned about to go his way, he laid hold on the skirt of his mantle, and it rent." He ripped Samuel's mantle. You know why? Because it wasn't going his way. He's going to spin the man of God around. He's going to straighten him out. We need to straighten out the man of God. That's what he's going to do. And it rent his mantle. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to thy neighbor of thine. It is better for, that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. He said, God don't have to repent, you repent. God don't have to turn around. We do. Now verse 30, and I'm done at this point. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. I pray thee before the elders of the people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. He said, don't embarrass me in front of all these people. And Samuel, because he loved Saul, and that's the only downfall of Saul, Samuel. God had to correct Samuel later on and say, Samuel, I'm done with him. I'm anointing David. Move on. Well, it's hard to leave somebody that you learn to love. But you got to leave them when God says, that's it. Are you hearing me? I'm saying, if they're not going to go right, you got to go on. That's tough right there. That's tough right there. The Bible says when he turned, he rent his garment. He said, God's rent it from you. But you know what he says? He says, honor me in front of them. Is that from the heart? That ain't from the heart. He knew he was wrong. He just wanted some honor. And you'll see the rest of his life is just chaos, fighting David, fighting David, fighting David, fighting David, all his days. Look on with me. I'll take you to David. 2 Samuel chapter 12. David has a time in his life the same way. I'm trying to hurry and I'll be done just a moment. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. He came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. He goes on to tell a story about a rich man and a poor man, how the rich man went and took the poor man's lamb, sacrificed it for a traveler, just happened to come to town, because he didn't want to give of his own. So he took somebody else's, the only thing he had. He tells a story of hurt. He says, let me tell you, David, a story about somebody that got hurt and how they shouldn't have got hurt. Boy, David sat there and listened to that, and then the Bible said, verse 5, that David's anger gets up. He says, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. He said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that had done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he had did this thing, and because he had no pity. Well, I'll tell you right now, that's symptoms of hypocrisy right there, buddy. You know, let me tell you something. I'll tell you something really good. You ain't going to like this when I say it, and half of you are going to get mad at me. I can tell you that. But if somebody always is getting on your nerves, it's because they're too much like you are or used to be. There's something in their life that bothers you about how you are or used to be. And sometimes you're trying to cover up your own sin. In other words, you can get so mad at them about what they're doing, but we can't see what we're doing. Amen. So I found that out. I found out pretty much if somebody's just getting on my last nerve, it's usually because, Brother Nance, I got something in my life. I better get cleaned up real soon because it's going to cause problems. David, boy, he read straighten it all out, wasn't he? Symptom of hypocrisy. Well, I tell you right now, we need to return it fourfold. You know, because of that, there's four people die in David's life because of he pronounced his own judgment and his own family when he said that. Now, here's the thing. Verse 7 says, and Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God, I have anointed thee king of Israel, had delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives. And he goes on telling him, and you have taken Bathsheba, you have slain Uriah, in verse number 9, and has taken his wife to be thy wife, and has slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Said, you sent him off to the enemy to have him killed. And I know it, and I took record of it. David, just wants you to know, straight to the heart of the matter. You know what David says, verse 12? For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And he says, now you did it in secret, David. You did it under the counter, as they say. You got to did it under the counter. You know, just take Uriah out there and get him close to the front, and you know, what will happen will happen. Kind of did it under the counter there. He wanted to hide his sin, wanting to get by with what he's doing, amen. But he said, here's the problem with that, David. You did it in secret, but I'm going to do it in the full daylight, what I'm going to pay you. You know what it says in verse number 13? And David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Now ask you this, did David confess because his heart was right at that time, or did David confess because he was caught and what he'd been trying to hide was going to come out in the light? Come on. It's because he was caught. More than a year had passed. A baby is getting ready to be born. 9 months have surely passed. Close to a year had probably passed at that point. Well, I guess 9 months would be right. About 9 months had passed. Close to a year, though. And David has now had a man slain and taken his wife, and an illegitimate child is going to be born to him. And the only reason David's confessing this sin now is he got caught. That's the only reason. Because the embarrassment is getting ready to come out in public. God said, what you did in dark, I'm going to do in the light. And the embarrassment of David being caught in his sin made David confess. He said, Richard, you can't prove that. When that child dies, the Bible says that David stays on his knees to the moment that child died. Now, at that point, David finally got right with God on this thing. But it took some time. That little, oh, I've sinned, didn't cut it. How do you know that, preacher? Because we've confessed our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God still held David, responsible in his family. You say, oh, preacher, out there sometimes when people sin, there's things that roll out of it. Yeah, a drunkard drinks and ends up having liver failure. Yes. Can he get forgiveness for his sins? Yes, but there's after effects. But this effect only affected David directly. It affected four family members. Plus Israel. Plus it's recorded in our Bible. God wants us to know that this is not the right example. I'm closing with this one. In Matthew chapter 27, you don't even have to turn there, but I'll give it to you. Verse number 3, it says, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself. Why did he do that? Because he was guilty. He felt the guilt of what he'd done. Verse number 3 says, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See that it? He wanted to give it back, but it's too late. He's guilty, but it's too late. And then he went to the gallows. The Bible said he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. You know what bothers me about all these? Can I show you something? Has anybody got the names written down? Any of y'all write their names down? Balaam, Achan, Saul, David, Judas. There's not a single one of them that didn't walk with God. Balaam had a prayer life with God where God spoke to him. Achan walked with Israel across the Red Sea. Saul was anointed king. David was anointed a man after God's own heart. And Judas walked for 3.5 years everywhere Christ was. You know what terrifies me about this study right here? Is that a lot of religious people that's gotten close to God before has learned a simple phrase when they get caught. I have sinned. And that's supposed to just, that's all I got to do. And if it's from the heart, that's all you have to do. But the problem is, majority of time, it's just a phase or a phrase somebody's learned, and this is a quick fix till I can get out of the heat, and then I'm going to keep on doing. If those people had not got caught, is there anybody here, according to the Scripture, is there anybody here believes they would have confessed it? You know what scares me, Brother Nance? As small a number as we got going on right here, right now, I wonder how many is going to have to get caught before they confess. It's going to have to come out in the daylight before they're going to confess it and say, God, I perverted righteousness and it did not profit me That's when you're confessing. I have perverted righteousness, and there's no profit in it. And until we confess our sin like that, God will not hear that confession. And I don't know about y'all, but 1 John means a lot to me. If we all confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteous, all unrighteous. Isn't that what He says? What does He say in chapter 2? My little children, I write this, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have a propitiation. We have a what? A what? Advocate with the Father. We have an advocate. We don't sin so we can have an advocate. We have an advocate else we sin. And He sits on the right hand of the Father and paid the blood penalty price. And all He wants us to do is be honest and say, God, I have perverted truth. I have perverted righteousness. And it did not profit. And if we'd come to Him like that, He'd forgive us. And we're going to live a fruitful life. But a lot of people just have a phase or a phrase. Let's all stand. Natalie, I want you to come play something softly. I wrote this down. I said, because of this, Balaam lost the power of God. Achan lost the provision of God. Saul lost the position of God. David lost the purity with God. And Judas lost the Prince of Peace. We're not talking about some heathen way out yonder in some other country. We're talking about people that had access to God. But I tell you what happens, just like he said to Saul, when thou wast small in the own eyes. Sin, we always get to that part where it's just something we say when we get big in our own eyes and we think, well, it's almost like I heard one preacher say he talked to a well-known preacher. He said he went into a well-known preacher and this preacher was using illustrations and he had told stories and the guy knew the true story and in the illustration he had made it much bigger and it wasn't true. And he thought, well, maybe he just forgot or something like that. And he went in and said, preacher, you said something the other day in that statement you used, and it wasn't true. And I didn't want you to. And they say that preacher. I'm not gonna call names. They say that preacher sat back in his chair. And he said, well, brother, he said, I've been in this long enough. God just kind of gives me some allowances. Let me say this right now. That's hogwash. If it ain't right, and if it ain't right for her to lie, it ain't right for you to lie. Amen. If it ain't right for her to curse, it ain't right for you to curse. We say, well, they're small. So we've matured enough where we can sin, it's okay. If what we're doing is not okay for everybody, it's not okay for anybody. Say amen right there. Y'all know it's right. You know it's right. Now, listen, why we got an altar call? And we have an opportunity. And before it comes out in light, when we seek God's face. He said, preacher, if I come down, I'm afraid somebody will know what I'm doing. Listen, there ain't a person here to listen, be honest with you. I don't need to get on our face every day for God and say, God, I either omitted your will or I committed sin against your will. You might as well say amen right there. There's not a person that, listen, we know we miss the will of God many times over. We don't mean to. Sometimes we do. But we have the opportunity to come down and say, God, help me. I have lost that love that I once had. Ain't what he said about the church at Ephesus? They've lost their first love. And that's how sin gets in. You just kind of lose your love. And all of a sudden, you want the gold of the world. You want the positions of the world. You want the things of the world. It's the same old story the devil's been using since the Garden of Eden. God, you'll not surely die. God doesn't know the day you eat therein, you'll become wise. If you just touch it and have those things, your life will be so much better. And God knows the reason He's keeping it out of your life is because we can't handle it. Have you ever thought about why God don't let you have things? Boy, I tell you one thing, if I had $1,000, I'd lay out of church and go on vacation. That's why you ain't got $1,000. Boy, if I had a new car, I'd go out on Sunday and ride around the mountains. That's why you ain't got a new car. Because God knows where you take it. God knows. And in His mercy and wisdom, He says, not going to do it that, because I'm not ready for that. God lets you keep paying 10 cents on a dollar till you learn it, and then after you pay 10 cents on a dollar, He might give you two, let you pay 20 cents on a dollar time. If you're not going to learn how to pay, take a dollar and pay 10%, why would God give you anything else? Why? This study bothers me as a preacher. 19 times! And half of them didn't mean it. And it's so close. It's so close. It's religious, but it's not relationship. It's so close. But just far enough to let judgment fall. Just far enough. You say, well, I'll tell you one thing, that Judas deserved it because he denied Christ. There's a man named Peter on the other side, he denied Christ too. And he cursed about it. Judas didn't even curse. He cursed about it. But the Bible says when he was caught, he went out and wept bitterly. Judas tried to get out of it. Peter wanted to get back in it. Church, you listen to what I'm saying. I'm telling you right now. This 1, 2, 3, say after me, Christian walking ain't working. So we've got trouble in our country and trouble in our churches. Because it's not in people's hearts. It's not in their 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 hearts. Others are coming this morning. If you need to come, just come. I don't know what you need to come for. The altar's open. Maybe you're burdened. I don't know. Maybe you're troubled. Maybe the devil's lied to you about something. I don't know. Tell you, God loves us so much. Another opportunity, another opportunity, another opportunity, another opportunity, another opportunity, another opportunity. Another opportunity. Another opportunity. Another opportunity. Another opportunity. Another opportunity passes by, passes by, passes by. 9 months passed by. Every day, sun rose. And David didn't say a word until he got caught.